From sprains to fractures, get expert care quickly at the University of Kansas Health System. Walk-in orthopedic care is open weekdays, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Saturdays, 8 to 2, at I-435 and Null. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/orthopedics.
Hello and welcome back to the Independent Republic of Soccer podcast. I'm Connell McCourt, and things are starting to heat up in the Women's World Cup as we're getting into those dog days of summer. They're coming, and I'm glad to say that joining me on the line to talk about it all is Utah Royals defender Sydney Miramontes. Sydney, how's it going?
Good, Connell. It's good to talk to you again.
Absolutely. It's fantastic to have you on again, get your analysis. You're always welcome here on the Independent Republic of Soccer. Now, I suppose we might as well just jump in, start at the top. Group A. Yeah. Group A, I mean, so match day three has just started yesterday, continued on today. And Group A, we saw France. France, who I thought didn't really look fantastic against Nigeria, honestly. I thought that they created a lot of chances, but they didn't really look that dangerous in the final third. The thing that will grab the attention, of course, will be the VAR decision on the penalty. I think it's desperately unlucky on Nigeria, honestly. I mean, I understand by the letter of the law, the goalkeeper has moved off the line. But I mean, Wendy Renard, the penalty kick taker, she didn't even put the ball on frame. Do you think that's fair, Sydney?
You know, that's unfortunately, VAR has been the star, I think, of this World Cup. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I feel for Nigeria after that game. I thought, you know, they played with a lot of heart, and they were in that game completely up until that moment. And, you know, I am disappointed in how that kind of came out, because, like you said, I mean, she missed the frame of the goal. And to have that, you know, come back, have recalled, have it go again, and she gets a second chance, you know, it is unfortunate. And I think it's disrupted a little bit of the flow of many of the games, not just yesterday, but yeah, I definitely felt for Nigeria there. You know, again, I think France was the better team and has the opportunity to go far in this tournament. But, yeah, you hate to see a team like Nigeria have to go down like that.
Yeah, it was tough. I mean, and there has been a couple of questionable calls, I think, with VAR in general. There's been a couple of penalty decisions and stuff that I haven't been... I mean, there's still VAR was brought in to take away this grey area, but I mean, we're still talking about it. We still have different opinions on these decisions. So, I mean, the other team in Group A was Norway, who have went through. Mm-hmm. And they kind of just took care of business against South Korea. Now, the biggest headline sort of coming from there is how much they would be missing their star striker, Ada Hedeberg, who has decided not to attend the World Cup this year, the Lyon striker. I mean, how influential could she have been in this team?
I mean, you know, we can play that game all along. Obviously, Ada is a very solid player, and she could obviously add to that attack. But, you know, I think Norway has known that she's not going to be there. They've moved on from that, and they've tried to, you know, build in other areas, not utilizing her, and I don't think we can, you know, look on that. She obviously would have been a great attacking presence for them, but, you know, they're still going to be a tough team, and I think they have a chance of making a run here in the knockout stages.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it certainly looked like they have talent. I mean, another team that they look like it's going to take a lot of stopping them as we move into Group B is Germany. Germany have looked so impressive. They haven't conceded a goal. They've been without Jennifer Marazan, and who is supposed to be coming back for the knockout stages. Do you think she can make a big impact on her return?
You know, we'll have to see how she bounces back from that toe injury. You know, it's hit or miss, but I think, you know, it has been nice that Germany's been able to play a couple games and kind of get some other people in there, getting some experience, getting comfortable playing. And so, obviously, she's, you know, quality and is such a big part of that German midfield. So I think she'll definitely contribute. But, you know, it is nice that Germany's had the opportunity to get some other players in there in case, you know, she isn't performing up to her standards or where they might be able to use her. So, yeah, you know, I was a little unimpressed with Germany that first round. It was a gritty win and just grinded that one out. But I think they're getting more comfortable, they're getting more confident, and they're going to make a run for it.
Yeah, the first two games, I kind of echo what you're saying. I mean, it kind of looked like they were ugly wins. They kind of ground them out against Spain and against China as well. But that last game, as you said, they kind of grew into themselves, and the player that came in to replace Marazan, I think it was Alexandre Popp and she scored as well coming in. So, I mean, it's great news for them all around. The other team that you actually said you were excited about in the last podcast that we done was Spain. Spain have they have qualified. They have went through. They have won one, one draw and one loss. How do you think they've played so far?
Yeah, so after that first win against South Africa, you know, I was excited because I thought I knew it. You know, they're coming in hot. Yeah, I think, you know, they did have a good performance. South Africa, maybe not up to the level and same, you know, level of competition as some of the other really good teams. So they started off strong, but again, you know, they're playing, you know, against more experienced teams. Just tactically, they match them much better than maybe that first game against South Africa. You know, but looking at their game against China, you know, they had multiple chances. They were patient in their attack, and that's what I love about that Spanish style is, you know, they're patient. They don't get frustrated easily, and I think that could be a factor for them working in their advantage as we move into the knockout stages. You know, they're patient in their attack. They know what they're good at. Unfortunately, they don't have, you know, that essential attacking nine striker, and I really think that is what they're missing. So while they may outpossess other teams and really do well in that area, they're just lacking that, you know, final third, that player that can, you know, make a difference in a game. So but they have the ability to frustrate teams, and with a potential meeting with the U.S. I think that it could be a good matchup.
Yeah, I mean, the player that you kind of sounded like you were describing there that they need is that moves us on to the next group is Marta from Brazil. Now, she made history today. Of course, she scored in the 1-0 win over Italy, and she became the most prolific scorer in all of World Cup history, overtaking Miroslav Klose in the men's game. Now, she plays currently here for Orlando Pride. So have you played up against her? Have you seen her in the flesh?
Yeah, I mean, we're up against her multiple times every season, and she, you know, she's class, and her stats prove that she's an incredible player, and congrats to her on her huge accomplishment today. You know, she's a vital role to that Brazilian team. I think she's, you know, she's the heart and soul, and she was able to lead them in that crucial victory today. And yeah, I mean, she has that ability to just, you know, make one play that changes the entire game. Mm-hmm. And I think the Brazilian team has struggled a little bit, you know, over the last year or so, not many wins, but, you know, they're peaking at the right time, and you can tell that their experience at this level with this type of tournament, it's coming out to show, and that can only be a positive for them moving into the knockout rounds.
She certainly does seem to add that extra potency up front. You know, she kind of gives them their identity.
Yeah.
And another player who that's kind of reminiscent of is a player that we discussed the last time in Sam Kerr. Now, we've seen her just absolutely go off against Jamaica. She scored 4. And, I mean, it kind of lived up to the billing that you were building her up to be. I mean, she just looks like a quality player, honestly.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I would never consider Sam a villain, but, you know, she's just class. I mean, and she can, you know, back up her words. I think Australia had a, you know, rough go against Italy that first game, and kind of, you know, just people were giving them a hard time, and to come back and stay in that game against Brazil, come out on top, and then to make a statement today, I mean, I think that just says a lot about the Australian culture and you know, their values and what that team can bring. So, you know, I think today, Sam, with her 4-goal performance against Jamaica, that just says a lot about her. And I think Australia's getting over those nerves maybe that we saw against Italy, had a lot of pressure on their back, and they overcame that obstacle in the game against Brazil. And now it looks like they're getting things rolling. So,
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say about the... So a lot was made about what you were just saying there about their culture and stuff. Above their badge is emblazoned the words never say die or one of something along those lines. And that's kind of what they look like they were doing against Brazil. I mean, they went 2-0 down. They had the tenacity. Yeah. They had the audacity. They fought back. And then, of course, with that win today, they've solidified their dominance kind of in the tournament. Moving on to Group D, another good team that has they've looked okay. I mean, England, they haven't looked fantastic at times. I mean, there has been some So I'm switching to and fro. And, of course, the Argentinian goalkeeper that played against in the was tremendous as well. So, yeah. So, I mean, yeah. England are through. I think we kind of know what we're getting from them. One team that kind of does puzzle me from Group D is Japan. Now, coming into the group, because they were finalists last time and stuff, I was kind of expecting a lot from them. I've heard that they haven't really been as good recently. But the first game I watched them against Argentina, I thought, I mean, the Argentinians played well. They forced them out wide, and it didn't really look like Japan had a plan B because they wanted to play all the way through the middle, and Argentina, they stayed compact, forced them out wide, and they got their deserves from that. But they looked a different team against Scotland. They really seemed to come into their own, and there were some great goals and stuff scored. What do you make of this Japan team? Like, how far can they go?
You know, like you said, you know, it is quite a few new players for Japan. I believe they're a very, very young team, and you know, that's just what their country decided to do in their organization in this cycle. And so you have a lot of young players that haven't played at this level of a tournament, and so. You don't have that level of experience, and I think that's what we're lacking from Japan. But, you know, like you said, I think against Scotland, they kind of came into their own. Again, you have to look at the opposition. Scotland, a gritty, passionate team, but not as talented as in England. So they didn't look, they obviously looked more stronger than against Scotland than they did England. I think, now that players have gotten a few games under their belt, they can kind of look to go towards their, you know, very technical style of play. And that can be tough to play against, especially moving forward against these more powerful, experienced teams. And I think that, that's what Japan's known for. They're very technical. They can out-frustrate any team just because of their simple ability. They may not run past. They're not as physical. They're not as, you know, that.
Yeah, but they're as technical, yeah. And we've seen that from some of the goals that they were scoring. I mean, both those goals against Japan or against Scotland were super. But this is probably one of the most exciting groups because any team can still go through here. I mean, Scotland, their bottom of the group with 0 points, but if they beat Argentina in the next game, they can finish as one of the best third place teams, which is, is crazy, and Argentina as well. What have you really thought of Argentina? Have they surprised you? Have they...
A little bit. I think Estefani Bonini has been crucial to that midfield. She has spent a few years here in the U.S. and had the opportunity to play against her last year. And, you know, I think that's a team that, looking for the future, I think they're just going to continue to get stronger. They've, you know, came into this tournament and kind of made, you know, people are, they're recognizing Argentina now, which really, before this tournament, I don't think people were really talking about them. So I think it's a really, it's a positive, regardless of how they end up, I just think it's a good start and a place to move forward for that organization. So, they've obviously frustrated a few teams and done really well, and where, as I don't think anybody really expected them to be doing much. So,
absolutely. I mean, and we'll go from probably the most exciting group to a group that kind of looks like it's sort of sorted already in Group B. Mm-hmm. Holland and Canada both look very, very good. I mean, it has to be a special mention to Medema from Holland. She looks fantastic.
Yeah.
She's actually became the most prolific Dutch scorer in the history of the Dutch game, men's and women's, today. 59 goals in 77 games. For her, which
crazy.
I mean, it's outstanding, honestly. But the Canadians haven't looked half bad either. What have you made of both of those teams?
Yeah, I really like Canada's performance against New Zealand the other day. They kind of just took control of the match and understood that, you know, took their momentum, and again, they played patiently and eventually came out on top. But I think, you know, Canada does have that experience finishing in the quarterfinals, the last World Cup. Can't remember off the top of my head before that, but they're always a top contender, and I think they have that going for them right now. And I think they've been able to gain a lot of confidence. You know, they're not blowing teams out, but they just have that ability to take control of a match. And, they have a lot of younger players in, Jessie Fleming, very impressive the other day with her goal, and Michelle Prince. Had a goal and an assist the other day. I mean, they have a lot of youth players stepping up and really coming in big for them. So, yeah, I think Canada just has that ability to kind of, you know, be under the radar, but can finish off goals, especially in Christine Sinclair. She's in that hunt for that record. And so just be prepared for her to be fired up and ready to go. So.
Absolutely. I mean, take it right into the next round. I mean, they could be facing some of our next group in the latter stages, which, of course, Group F, home of the mm-hmm. U.S. Women's National Team. Now, this one, I want to kind of get into it a bit this way because I haven't spoke to you since before the first game. So mm-hmm. let's just get the elephant out of the room. The 13-0 elephant out of the room. What did you make of it? Yeah. Did you have any problems with any of the celebrations or anything like that?
I did not have a problem at all. I mean, if you can't celebrate on the World Cup stage, when can you celebrate?
Absolutely.
You know, I had zero problem with it. And was I surprised there was criticism towards it? Absolutely not. Because I think, you know, they just know they have, you know, people are always talking about them. So, no, I loved it. And, I mean, what a statement to come in that first game. You know, you can argue, yes, the U.S. has a pretty easy, you know, group stage draw, especially their first two matches. But no, I had no problem with that. And, you know, I was shocked. I knew it was going to be, you know, a spread, but 13-0, I mean, that's a statement. It was impressive.
Absolutely. And I mean, I didn't really get much of it. I mean, all the sentimental stuff about you shouldn't be scoring goals. I think it's actually kind of, you're doing a disservice to your opponents by taking your foot off the gas. But I mean, you get to the pinnacle, this is where you want to play. I don't know. Yeah. I didn't really understand that whole mentality. But it will get a bit tougher for the US as they're going on to play Sweden in the next round. Of course, they'll want to get a bit of retribution from when they were put in penalties. But the going into this game, there's been a lot of talk about already the next stage, which the U.S. could possibly meet France. And I've seen Crystal mm-hmm. Dunn talking today, one of the U.S. national team players, saying, bring them on. There's just kind of a two-sided, double-edged sword here, should I say, because if the U.S. does lose this last game, finishes second in the group, Sweden top the group, they would technically probably have an easier game in the next round. If they win, and France win, of course, we know that they'll be on a collision course, they'll meet. Do you think there's any chance of Jill Ellis or anyone in that national team saying, oh yeah, let's go and take an L here, guys?
Absolutely not. Carnal, I read something the other day, and the U.S. is, you know, their mindset is world dominance. And, mm-hmm. you know, obviously they know the opponent that they could play in France, and I don't think it matters to them when in the stage of the tournament that they're going to play them, because, you know, their goal and their mindset is we're going to beat them. So I don't think it matters to the U.S. if, you know, they have to play France in the quarterfinals or if they have to play them in the finals. They're, you know, I don't think their mentality changes with that at all. I absolutely don't see, you know, the U.S. taking the pedal off against Sweden at all. I think it'll be a much closer game. I think they're going to be tested a lot more, which it will be more of, again, a test for the U.S., but by no means do I think it's going to be a give-me or, you know, they don't go into that game as hard as they have the previous two.
Absolutely. I completely agree. I just can't. It's another thing with that mentality. I mean, just finishing on that, so it was 13-0. I mean, it is, okay, it's a bit embarrassing. It is a bit embarrassing for everybody watching, but well, except for the U.S. fans, I suppose. But a lot of people were, there was an argument being made, this was back in the UK, I heard this argument, and people were saying about, should these teams be allowed to play in this type of a tournament, given that there's such disparity? I mean, 13-0 mm-hmm. is a bit, what, do you buy into that at all? Or, I mean, because my thinking is on it that, how do you expect this competition to grow around the world unless you let the other teams, I mean, this happened in the men's game too, when they expanded out Asia and some of the other teams started coming in, some of the smaller teams, and they were getting beat a heavy.
Yeah.
But that's just all, surely that's just part of learning and growing into the bigger game, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yes, it's unfortunate that Thailand had to take the brunt of the beating and, you know, kind of bring that topic up. But no, I think if anything, like you said, it's just going to bring more awareness to the game. And, you know, Thailand can take this and learn from it and decide, okay, we don't want that to happen again. And all that's going to do is create a more positive soccer culture in that country. So, no, I don't, it is what it is, and it's a World Cup, and obviously, you know, there are a lot of inequalities, and that is something, you know, it's very prevalent right now in the women's soccer industry and trying to grow the game, and hopefully this can be a topic of discussion as well moving forward after the tournament, and mm-hmm. and this can be brought up. So I mean
absolutely,
it is unfortunate.
Yeah, I think we're on thinking the same thing there. I mean, it's kind of a silly argument to be made, but some people are going to make it, as you said. I mean,
yeah,
finishing on your own career, if we can get back there, I've seen that you came on this weekend. You came on against Sky Blue FC. He's got a 1-0 win. You came off the bench around the hour mark. Am I right in saying?
Yes, they did.
So how did that go? That win moved to suit 2nd in the division. How did you personally play yourself, and how do you think the team played?
Yeah, so that was actually my first game back this season. Unfortunately, I suffered a foot injury the first week of preseason.
Oh, I see.
And so that was actually my first minutes this season. And so was obviously very excited to get to contribute. Our team has been doing very well, and to be able to have that opportunity to come on and get some minutes and just be able to contribute, you know, I'm very happy with that. It was a tough game. We went up early in the first half, and you know, when you go up and you know, you have a team that's obviously looking for that goal, you have to think a little bit more defensive, and mm-hmm. being a defensive player, I think that was, you know, part of the reason for me coming on, was to just provide stability in the back as we try to close out that win. So Sky Blue, obviously a tough opponent, and you know, they're a gritty team, and we were able to pull out the win. So, and I'm glad I got to get on the field, contribute, and see that win out.
Good stuff. Well, hope to see more of you anyway. Your team are playing on Friday night against away to Portland Thorns, am I right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, should be a good game.
Well, hopefully we get to see you get more minutes then, and hopefully we can have you on after the next match day to discuss more about the Women's World Cup, Sydney.
Absolutely.
Thank you for joining me again. I appreciate it.
No problem, Connell. Talk to you soon.
That is the thoughts of Utah Royals defender Sydney Miramontes. Remember that the U.S. next game in their quest for the World Cup is this Thursday at 2 p.m. Central Time against Sweden. Until then, you can get your daily updates for the Women's World Cup right here on your home for soccer in Kansas City, Sports Radio 810 WHB.